Hello, and welcome to Win Stupid Presents, the show where we ask the questions that nobody thought were worth asking. I am your holiday elf, Eddie, and I'm joined today by the three most festive people I know. They are, of course, the jolly old Saint Jamie.
Ho, ho, ho?
Happy New Bear.
Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha!
And our judge this time is the angel AJ Briel.
You know it.
What's going on, AJ?
Well, I've been really getting into the Christmas spirit. I've got my Santa mug out. I've got my enormous Santa decorations going. And I realized maybe Christmas has become too commercialized. But what if we lent into that? And what if we took it to its logical conclusion? And the thing I realized about Christmas is that if Christmas is going to be commercialized, that means no monopolies. I'm not talking about Amazon.com. I mean that Santa has a really uncomfortably large share of the distributing presents to children all around the world market. And I think there is an opportunity here for us. Now, you don't want to get on the wrong side of Santa, so I have actually had a word with him ahead of time, and I can announce we have, as a prize, not only the contract for Santa's competitor this Christmas, but also one of you is going to be removed from the naughty list.
I didn't know I was on the naughty list. Oh, no.
I didn't know Eddie was on the naughty list.
I don't know why this is surprising.
I'm on the naughty list. Each week I enslave the elves of the North Pole to do my bidding.
That's very naughty.
But, you know, King Christmas, I mean, Santa Claus did that as well, so.
Tune in to twitch.tv/hexagonlive on Thursdays. UK 8 p.m.
So I want to hear your best pitches for how you would do Santa's job better this Christmas.
It's really funny that you brought up Amazon during that spiel because, like, it feels like Amazon are trying to do Santa's job better than him.
And that's the danger, right? We've got to get there first. I figure we've got a couple of years before Santa is effectively replaced by drones, and we don't want to live in that world.
We're going to have, like, the classic Christmas movie, but instead of the sleigh, it's an Amazon van. And the delivery driver is just wearing a red cardigan.
Yeah, these adverts write themselves.
If they make a movie out of it, it would be Jeff Bezos.
Ho, what am I doing? This is someone else's job. Why am I driving?
He just takes off into space.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned movies, because one of the things I'm hoping we can get out of this is it should be something that ideally we can make into a heartwarming movie about how we actually helped Santa. Okay. And it was good for everyone.
How on earth are we supposed to do? We are but mortal beings compared to Santa's cosmic entity. How could we possibly do anything better than Santa?
That's a really good question. And you know, Santa, he thought of you when we discussed this task.
That's nice,
because he knows you're just naughty boys.
Wow.
We're naughty, but he's fair.
He has authorized for each of you to have access to one potentially supernatural helper, one potentially supernatural item, and one army of minions.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Oh, so this is his Santa sleigh and, hang on, how many items does Santa get? Oh, well, I'm not in a position to negotiate the contract.
And arguably, are the reindeer a separate army of minions to the elves?
That's a good question.
No, they are 9 listed characters.
Okay. Oh my word, he has so many characters.
Yeah, and he has not only the sleigh as a magic item, he has the bag as a magic item.
His sack.
And he also has himself and his magic powers.
Well, if we're going to undercut him, you've got to get creative.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we need to do a better job than him, one of the best ways to do that is on a lower budget. And so that kind of makes sense.
Absolutely.
Wait, are we going to get franchised into this? Is Santa actually going to be running our operation too, technically?
Yeah, this is actually The Apprentice.
I assume this was the pitch for The Santa Claus 4. They keep having to come up with new clauses, and now this one is, if you can do it cheaper, you become Santa.
I've never seen those films, but I would watch that one.
They're really silly. My mum loves them, but they are very silly. They're like, oh, there's a contract for Santa's thing.
Of course there is.
And like, if you fill any of these clauses, which we're coming up with on the fly per film, then you either lose the rights or become Santa. No questions asked. No chance. You've signed it by filling one of these contracts.
Oh, look, you murdered Santa and put on his jacket or something.
Exactly. In the first one, he accidentally kills Santa, puts on the jacket, and it's like, you're Santa now, and you don't get a say in this. You just are.
That's quite horrific.
That's the first clause.
Yeah. Tim Allen starts putting on weight at an impossible rate. His beard keeps growing out.
Speaking of Tim Allen, I'm not sure he's the best pick for your one potentially supernatural character.
I don't know. He's already shown that he can do it.
As an actor, yeah.
But I think picking Tim Allen would just be picking Santa, and it's probably out of bounds.
I'll pick Tim Allen. My one item is movie magic, and my army of minions are the film crew of the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, no, just my one item is Santa's jacket. And now I'm Santa. Boom.
You just become Santa. Oh, man. That's a loophole.
So, wait. Santa's banned.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Arguably, alternate Santa, the Hogfather, probably also not worth it.
No, we don't want alternative universe Santas.
Okay, right. I've got some ideas. We know, as connoisseurs of different forms of media, that there is one entity who has successfully managed to do a reverse Christmas.
A reverse Christmas.
And all we need to do...
Hang on.
...is... get the Grinch.
Yes!
And get him to undo whatever he did. Like, just do it in reverse. Done. Oh, solved it.
That's so good. You know how you stole Christmas? Just unsteal Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that unstealing is the opposite of stealing in this scenario, but I'll go with it. How's he going to do it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just getting him to do it. I don't know.
I think the problem with the Grinch isn't the fact that he can't do it. It's the fact that he only does it for one town, and it's...
Yes. Yeah.
It's Whoville?
It's a small town, yeah.
Who are, I think, canonically tiny little creatures.
Also, I don't live there, so not interested.
It was worth a shot.
What if you got a clone machine and got an army of Grinches and sent one to every town?
Yeah, there we go, we solved it.
You've kind of made Grinch both the character and the minion. I've broken the system already.
That's fine.
Okay, you talk about a clone machine just so casually. Not like any particular thing, just, you know.
I mean, that's your item, right?
Clone machines exist? What do you want? I'll take the clone spell from D&D 5th edition. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take the item that just solves Christmas.
My one item is the entire planet of Kamino.
Ah.
My one item is Santa's workshop.
Yeah, I'll get the clone machine, replace everyone with a version of me, and then say, wow, what a great Christmas.
Oh, no.
I will say, one of my options did consider taking over the world and then just redefining Christmas.
All right.
Are you doing a better job than Santa?
Yeah, I've got to be a bit more clear about what doing a better job than Santa means. All of the children, preferably the adults, but at least the children everywhere in the world need to get at least one present in the same night once per year. And Santa needs to be able to operate as well.
Can I ask for additional caveats? Because you could argue that eliminating most of the human population would still fulfill those conditions.
All right. It's got to play well in my movie.
Okay.
What rating is your movie?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas movie. It's got to be PG, okay?
Heartwarming Christmas movie, I guess.
Okay, it's you. It's a U. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or an E for everyone, for international audiences.
Wait a second. On that note, you just, into society over time, you build the concept of a Santa so that each year, all of the parents buy their kids presents and pretend they're from Santa.
That doesn't sound like the magic Christmas that I know.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Who would do that?
Yeah, okay. You know, that is a bit out there.
You think the whole world would agree to something like that?
Nah.
It's just straight up evil. Imagine lying to children like that.
Yeah. Now, more realistically, I don't know necessarily how I would accomplish that, but I know how I can find out. You know, like they say, being a good IT person is knowing how to use Google. Well, being a good replacement Santa is knowing how to use the Necronomicon to summon elder gods and ask them how to manipulate time and space in order to deliver presents to all of the kids.
You're phoning it in with the Necronomicon.
I guess you haven't killed any kids, but I'm not sure insanity plays well in a kids' movie.
I don't know that they're all going to go insane. I'm going to go insane and figure out how to achieve it.
I think that's a reasonable sacrifice.
Yeah, I could become like the Eldritch Santa, laughing my way across the sky and raining down terror and joy.
Yeah, I love this for you.
And we must all worship Santa Clogoth.
Have you got a version of your new profile picture with just a Santa hat on top of your cosmic bear? Because that just fits the bill right there.
Yep, I gotta do that. Yeah, just a little portal opens up, like, inside every child's brain and reaches out with a tentacle and leaves a present under their tree.
From the brain, through the...
Well, you know, that's... How else am I gonna...
I guess if your portals only go to brains, that's what you're gonna do.
Like, I haven't finished reading the Necronomicon, so I don't have all the answers. It's a little bit, you know, dry.
I think dry is the opposite of the problem you've got here.
Bit of a dull read.
I keep losing attention, but it makes sense.
And it explains a lot about you, to be fair. All right, I'm going to try and move us back into the realm of kid-friendly things, because there was a recent-ish family-friendly film. If you're going to get to every house in the world in one night, you're going to need The Fastest Thing Alive. I'm, of course, talking about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
He can run around at the speed of sound, which is hopefully quick enough to get to every house in one night. I haven't done the math.
And we do know there is nothing faster than sound.
There is nothing faster than sound. He is the fastest thing alive. There is nothing faster.
Nope.
I've seen the trailers and not the movie. And in the trailers, he seemed a little bit faster than sound.
Yeah, that happens once in the film, and it is in the trailer, where, like, the rockets suddenly just stop moving.
Yeah.
And he is just, like, taking things real casually, tapping his toe, and it's like, oh my word, this dude is... I don't think it's speed of light, but we are a lot faster than sound at this point.
Faster than time.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's like... as fast as the writers need him to be to make this one scene work.
And in this film, I need him to be so fast that he can get to every house in one night. The perfect film.
Yeah, I'm really liking this idea so far.
The advantage of taking the film version of Sonic as well is that he uses the rings to create portals. So you could actually, like, get across the seas much faster just by eating a ring and taking a portal across the sea to the next town or whatever.
One of the options I was looking at was portals.
One of the disadvantages of using the film version of Sonic is he's got to have, like, a really bad time in the middle and, like, almost give up. So we need someone there to lift him out of that funk and make him realize that he can do it.
I mean, I'm assuming we don't get someone's entire character arc when we call them in.
Yeah, I mean, the other disadvantage of the film Sonic is that he has to go through several terrible-looking iterations before we get to the final product where he actually looks like Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's where the Necronomicon came in.
I'd also like to bring up the question of, if something can go that fast, do we have any roads left?
He runs along roads in the films, and, like, he gets speedo clocked, and it's, like, several hundred miles an hour, and the roads are fine.
Sonic doesn't obey the laws of physics.
Not in a kid's film, anyway.
No.
When he runs around faster than time, he doesn't create a black hole.
Running around at the speed of time doesn't have the same ring to it.
It just seemed very, sort of, how can anything ever be a threat to Sonic? The trailer made me not think that Sonic could ever be beaten, because when you shoot a million rockets at him, he's like, eh.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is the speed of plot. That's what you need to solve this problem.
If they did it with realistic physics, he's going so fast that he's, like, a disproportionately high gravity body, and it just sucks in all the missiles, and they just all hit him because he's gone so fast.
That's how he can carry really big presents, I guess, at high speeds.
As long as he's got one ring, he's fine.
But yeah, he goes as fast as you need him to, and right now you need him to do the whole planet. That seems reasonable. And that's just one thing, right? It's just Sonic. You don't need an item. You don't need an army of minions.
I mean, I'd give him a bag of rings to help with the teleport, and if he does
take
damage from an Eggman robot, then he has at least one chance.
Yeah, you probably need to give him some corn dogs as well for energy.
Yeah, I guess the concern with Sonic, as you put it, though, is if he accidentally goes so fast that he sucks all the kids into this weird time vortex as he delivers presents.
Yeah.
That is a bit of a downside.
Oh, it would be nice to have a Christmas cover of Escape from the City.
It would.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't think I can put that together without several copyright strikes.
So you did mention portals.
I did.
Notably rings in this case. I was thinking about another form of ring that forms a portal. So in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, magic people, wizards, sorcerers, whatever, they have sling rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are these rings they wear and they can make portals.
Yeah. They just have to visualize where they're going. They don't have to have been there.
This was me trying to solve the spatial issue of the problem. If you have people who can make portals to anywhere on Earth...
You know in the film where they send Thanos' big minion dude through the portal to Snow Place?
Yeah, and he gets his arm chopped off.
Why don't they just send him into space if they can visualize anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
We can't make him too OP.
Because they shoot someone else into space later in the movie, and therefore they didn't want to, like, overlap.
Put him in the heart of a volcano or, like, Santa's workshop, so he has to be a slave minion for the rest of eternity.
Having just read a little bit about sling rings, apparently they never use it when it would just solve the problem and cut the movie short, so...
I see you've made a movie before.
That's fine, because it doesn't solve the problem on its own. I have to make use of the minion slot.
Right.
I've got a few options here. I need a selection of small characters who could carry presents. So I've listed off The wee free men from Discworld, who are a bunch of small, strong dudes.
They're very merry. Oh.
Something like, I don't know, the Smurfs, they're little people. Potentially, and I hate to mention this, Minions.
Actual. Straight up.
Taking the army of Minions literally.
Like, just get a load of Minions and that's Christmas solved.
And so you open portals, you give each of them a present to take to each person, you chuck one through each place, and if you pick something like the Wee Free Men, because they're tiny, they can not get caught, can go hide somewhere, and then they can make their way back to you in whatever time they need. Or you can portal them back later.
And they definitely remember to drink all of the sherry that you've left out as well.
Yeah, all, like when the kid leaves out a present for Santa, like a mince pie and a drink, the Wee Free Men will have that.
Hmm, maybe that's the important thing that Santa does. It's not so much leaving presents, it's consuming all of the food that would otherwise get wasted.
We'll just send you out there.
Originally I thought of the portal gun from Portal, but that's kind of useless here because you need to be there to make the portal. So, Sling Ring portals, Minions.
The portal gun, you could shoot it at the moon and just throw presents from the moon down onto Earth.
You need to construct some kind of cannon to do that.
Ah.
Yeah, like, it's just something appearing on the moon isn't going to escape its gravity.
No, I mean, but you maintain velocity through the portal, right? So, like, as long as you're throwing it hard enough, as long as it's got enough of a yeet on it...
Oh, I see.
It will make its way to Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that you're going to throw presents with enough velocity to escape the gravity of the moon. Without structurally compromising them.
We go to the moon, and then we make portals back down from the moon to each house, one at a time, by being really accurate.
You could put the presents in little atmospheric entry pods so that they don't burn up.
Look, I've got one item, and I've already picked the portal gun, dude. I can't also pick atmospheric entry pods.
So you're just going to rain down. Either the presents are going to burn up, or they're just going to be a meteor swarm hitting everyone on Earth.
Look, this is a gamble we have to take to beat Santa. I mean, to do better than Santa.
But yeah, I think most options utilize a character, and I feel like this one is more focused on the army of minions and the item, which is interesting. You save on appearance fees with whatever big name actor you're getting.
That's true. So who's going to be visualizing all of these kids' bedrooms? Because I feel like Santa is maybe the only entity who can properly picture the range of kids' bedrooms in the world.
I mean, you've got something called the internet, right?
Okay.
Where you can basically look up every single town and village in the world. You don't need to necessarily get into the room. Santa goes to the roof and lands goes down the chimney, right? So we're going to use Google Maps on satellite view to be able to visualize every roof in the world. And then we're going to portal onto the roof, send the Wee Free Man through the portal carrying the present, and he could go down the chimney and solved it.
Ah, you've given me an idea with mentioning going down the chimney, because I think I can tick that particular box of Santa's job.
It's quite an important one.
But in reverse.
Let's
take Mario, famous plumber man, travels via pipes.
Oh my goodness.
Every house got a toilet. Every house got a pipe.
And we all know that pipes are indeed reverse chimneys.
You're not wrong.
I've always said it, toilets are reverse chimneys. That is a categorical fact.
Yes.
And ever since 1985, with the big toilet pipe incident, it is a requirement that toilets are made with warp pipes.
Precisely.
Oh, wait, I'm writing that down for a different business proposal.
Wait, that's how we solve the sewerage issues. We just pump it into this mushroom kingdom.
Yeah, and then mushrooms grow on it.
Look, we don't know what happens in the middle of the pipe. So all we know is that Mario goes into a pipe, he appears out of a different pipe, but he's squeaky clean.
You get the wrong one, and like someone turns on their tap and just this really squeezed out Mario just like comes out of the tap.
Oh my god, what is it?
That's called Luigi.
I might have to give Mario a, like, an invincibility star or something just so that he can afford to like get into one altercation like that. This Italian plumber just turns up in people's houses with presents and they're just like, what the hell are you doing here? Just like beat the crap out of him. I've got to give him a method of self-defense.
He shrinks.
I do really like this because this is a potential interesting way that we could collaborate with Santa, in that most of the homes in the world now do have either a chimney of some kind or plumbing. So if Mario took over the plumbing-based ones and Santa carried on doing the ones with chimneys, we could do this very efficiently. I like that.
Yeah.
And naturally, we exclude all of the impoverished children who live in houses without chimneys or plumbing.
I mean, most major settlements around the world have a district with plumbing.
Somewhere. You could potentially send them to the more impoverished districts from the ones that do have plumbing.
Yeah, I could also give him the warp pipe could be his item, and he can go to one place in the world that doesn't have plumbing.
Send him out with an army of Yoshis as well.
I don't know if I trust Yoshi with presents.
He'll eat them, put them in an egg, and then they're wrapped.
This is not the Christmas that I wanted. Just picture all of the kids sitting there with these enormous eggs in the morning, and you get these comically large Christmas spoons and all have to, like, hack your way in.
And then extract your present from the goo.
Oh, wow. They come down in the morning, see their present, they're just like, oh, egg!
Oh, egg!
This does tie in with the fits into a family-friendly Christmas movie, though, because they're about to do the Mario movie, and this could be the crossover, well, or the Christmas version, which they bring out one year, and you've got...
Chris Pratt as Mario.
Hey, it's me, Mario!
Hey, it's me, Star-Lord. I'm Mario now.
Wahoo!
Actually, you mentioned taking in an invincibility star to be able to, like, survive an altercation. If your army of minions is an army of Goombas, if you jump on enough Goomba heads in a row, it stops being points and starts being one-ups each jump. So in between any fight he has, you could just have him jump on, like, 100 Goombas or whatever. I don't know how many. And just, like, get one-up, 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 one-up. And then he can take another however many beatings.
Logistically, yes, but from the perspective of making a heartwarming Christmas movie, having your army of minions there for sacrificial purposes is not going to fly.
Yeah, but they're the bad guys. They're trying to stop Christmas.
They're not the bad guys if... Come on.
In the movie, they're going to be the bad guys.
Because Bowser's going to be controlling them. It's not because they're inherently evil because they're Goombas.
It's still going to happen in a family-friendly movie.
Yeah, but as we know, in all kids' movies, it doesn't matter how many goons you kill, as long as you let the main villain who's actually the evil one go because you're a good person, you're fine.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, we're not here to dissect movies. We're here for business.
Dissect Santa. Wait, no.
Wait, then we can find the organ that lets him do it.
Also, having one-ups doesn't help Mario that much. It just means he gets a second chance if he messes up. Yeah. Like, if you send him through a pipe and he dies, he's back alive, but he's not through the pipe anymore.
But he can learn. He can Groundhog Day this. He can go, oh, I messed up this way. Let's go into the other pipe.
Groundhog Day this once.
So yeah, and to be fair, even if Mario loses all his lives, he just presses continue and loses his points.
And we're not here for points. We're here for...
The points do mean prizes.
Right, moving off Mario, I'm going to mention one character. They will be OP, and then we'll move on to more interesting pastures.
Okay.
There's a series of... graphic novels and comics and so on that you guys may be aware of. There's also a movie. It's well known, you know, Watchmen.
Yeah.
They've tied it into the DC universe now in some way. I'm not exactly sure how. Anyway, there's Dr. Manhattan.
Oh.
Is this going to be kid-friendly?
Yes, because Dr. Manhattan basically has control over time and matter and space and stuff, and he can probably just make it so there's a present in every house on the planet.
Yeah.
It's really boring. Doesn't make a good movie.
Your only problem with that is getting him to do it. Like, he could do it instantaneously. It's just the bit of the movie that I've seen is him not caring about anything and not wanting to do anything.
Yeah, but that's an argument for, like, a lot of the characters we could potentially bring in.
Yeah, but then, like, Mario and Sonic are inherently good people, for example.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan's particular character trait is he doesn't care and therefore doesn't fix things.
Yeah.
Okay, but then the movie is a fun, like, comedy romp about making him care.
It's just a long sit-down intervention with Dr. Manhattan. To be fair, that would fit the kids' film.
Yeah.
It would.
However, Dr. Manhattan would not fit the kids' film as the character is intended.
Yeah, just walking around as a nude blue dude. Wait, in some shots, when he's, like, appearing in public, he'll wear a suit or a Speedo.
Great.
A Speedo.
Yeah, he wears, like, a black Speedo.
Not, like, a pair of Speedos, just, like, a single Speedo.
Or he just Ken dolls himself.
Yeah, he can Ken doll himself, yeah. Also, he can duplicate himself.
He can duplicate himself?
Yeah, in one point, there's, like, a bunch of him.
Is it actually himself? Because then wouldn't he want to eliminate himself to prevent the other himself from eliminating himself?
No, they're the same him.
That's confusing.
He can do what he wants. He can just be like, oh, look, there are now 100 of me because I wanted there to be. It's not, oh, no, I have to do the one and we all have to fight until there's only one of us left.
Well, no, yeah, but my point is if there are multiple of him, they are exactly him.
No, it's one him in multiple bodies.
Okay, right, thank you.
He is unlimited, so, like, he can be in more than one place at a time.
What I'm asking is, could Dr. Manhattan create a stone that is so heavy that he couldn't lift it?
Can Dr. Manhattan remove himself from existence?
Anyway, moving on.
He sounds like the kind of guy who might just decide that a copy of him would be everybody's ideal Christmas present.
No.
I think he's more the sort of guy who would decide that everybody's on the naughty list, so he's not going to bother.
Potentially. Or everyone's present this year is a physics textbook, so they can learn how I work.
I don't think anyone knows how he works. I don't think he knows how he works.
He doesn't even know. Yeah, fair. Everyone's present this year is a trip to Mars.
He probably knows how he works.
I thought he was trying to figure out how he worked during the film, at least.
I don't know.
And welcome to Hexagorgon Reviews The Watchmen.
So speaking of supernatural other beings, I know a group of people who have experience in delivering Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And those are the residents of Halloween Town.
Okay.
That's a good background recommendation.
Yeah, so in The Nightmare Before Christmas, Jack decides, oh, I'm bored of Halloween, I want to do Christmas. So they take over Christmas. Now they fail.
And then they mess it up?
Yeah, they do a terrible job.
Spoilers.
Because of bad leadership and a poor understanding. But guess what? I'm in charge. I know about Christmas. I'm not gonna screw it up like silly Jack. My motivation isn't just I'm bored. It's that I'm gonna do the best Christmas of all time!
You're not even using the character option. It's just you.
Best character is himself.
Yeah, character himself. Item don't care.
Characters, any characters, to be honest. I'm motivated.
We need Halloween Town because it's connected via door to Christmas Town, right?
Yeah, I do need the door. My item is the door to Christmas Town.
Oh, okay, sure.
There we go.
All right.
Wait, that means you're invading Christmas. They only do Christmas by taking over Christmas Town, which does beat the not stepping on Santa's toes component of this.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, he's not going to like that.
Okay, fine. So I won't feed Santa to the boogeyman.
Pretty funny, though.
Yeah, well, maybe I will.
Is that what happens in that film? Because that's nasty.
No, it all works out in the end.
He doesn't get eaten by the boogeyman, but yeah, they are.
The boogeyman is Oogie Boogie, right?
Yeah, Mr. Oogie Boogie. Mr. Oogie Boogie's servants, Lock, Shock, and Barrel. Jack tells them, go and kidnap Santa Claus, and don't tell Oogie Boogie about it. And then they go and kidnap Santa Claus, but they're like, Oogie Boogie will probably reward us nicely if we give him Sandy Claus.
Oh, spoilers for... The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Spoilers for The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's okay. It's past Halloween. You should have watched it by now.
But it's a Christmas movie.
It's both.
The underlying problem is that the residents of Halloween Town don't understand Christmas. And Jack, he doesn't really understand it well enough. He's just got a feeling.
Well, he's only got, like, the lens of Halloween to understand it via, right? He's like, oh, Sandy Claus must be this big monster creature with big claws or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they have the scope and the ability under great leadership to be able to deliver a shockingly good Christmas.
What's the scope of their, like... Okay, I haven't seen the film, but my understanding is that they just don't do a very good job making presents. But how far do they get those presents?
They ruin Christmas.
But do they get them all over the world?
So, Jack is flying around with his skeleton reindeer, delivering presents.
That's a very cool image, by the way.
The presents are breaking out and attacking children.
Oh no.
And then the military start chasing down Jack to shoot him out of the sky.
Wait, the real world military?
The real world military, and they announce on the news that Christmas is cancelled because of all the monstrous events.
I gotta see this film. Like, I've heard good things about this film, but it's gone so much further up.
They shoot him out of the sky.
I love it, I want it.
With fighter jets.
We don't know the scope of the world in the setting per se, right? Because it's just the military.
Yes.
As if the world has a global military, because we don't really know.
It's probably America.
Probably.
They see a guy flying around delivering presents and they scramble fighter jets. It's America.
Yeah, fair.
Tangential question. Would the military be a viable army of minions? I don't have any more thoughts on that.
No, because we're talking about reducing costs.
Oh, good point.
I've just got to pick up on something Bear said. Did I hear you correctly that the presents start breaking out and attacking people? Because that would imply that all of the presents are pets. And if anything could improve Christmas, it would be for every present to be a pet.
But a little present monster isn't just for Christmas.
Yeah, well, they're not necessarily animals, but, like, one of them is a wooden duck, and the kid opens up their wooden duck, and then it spins its head around, and it's got loads of teeth and starts chasing them.
Oh!
Wow, okay. Brutal.
It doesn't reveal how many kids are, collateral.
Well, no, so the thing is, the Halloween residents do not kill the kids. They're experienced in scaring people.
Yeah.
So they put their scaring skills to use when making presents for Christmas. So I don't think there's a lot of actual death.
So if you were the person in charge of this, you'd be needing to maybe give them some workshops ahead of time to let them know about, you know, other emotions.
Yeah, and some quality control processes on the toys they make. You know, just some basic actual management skills.
If they put their scaring skills to use, the closest skill that I know that you have in abundance is pranking.
That's very true.
So
every present's a banana.
Every present's just going to, like, be an epic prank rather than a good present.
It would change the meaning of Christmas, but it would be fun.
Okay, here's the way I fix that. Every present is an epic scary prank, but it doesn't go off on the person who opens it. They get to do it to someone else. Boom. We get the same amount of total pranking and scaring, but the presents are good to the recipient.
I actually like that logic.
What about kids who don't like pranking people because they're nice?
Well, they're going to learn to like it.
Well, thanks.
Jamie, have you met children? They fucking love pranking people.
I was a child once.
Jamie, you love banana pranking us.
I'm not sure that Santa is going to let you off the naughty list for this idea. He's got a sense of humour, but you can only push him so far.
No, okay. I'll take it.
As long as these two stay on the naughty list with me.
As long as I get to rule Christmas, I'm fine.
But no, Santa's like kind of your boss.
I'll prank him into me being the boss.
That's a good prank.
I will admit, you're kind of the only person who's addressed the making the toys component so far. Because with a lot of my answers, I was assuming the toys have already been made and the thing I'm trying to solve is delivering them.
Yeah, I was thinking of this as a logistics problem, but some creativity is also warranted.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting thought. I think I have one item that I think could kind of fix every aspect of the Christmas elements.
Wow.
If you use it in the right way. And that is the Meeseeks box from Rick and Morty.
Right.
It's a box that has a button on top of it, and when you press this button, a blue dude pops out of it saying, "I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me," in a funny voice.
"I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me!"
And you tell Mr. Meeseeks to do something, and once they have completed that task, they cease to exist. And they want to do that. They want to complete the task, and they're quite, like, good-natured in that they will try and do the task in the way it's intended.
Ah, it's not like a wishing thing with genies who decide to do it differently, yeah.
It's not a monkey's paw, yeah, yeah. It's the sort of thing where, like, if the, like, in, I think, the first episode they turn up in, someone is like, "Mr. Meeseeks, I want to be the most popular girl in my class," or something like that. And you could argue that a simpler solution would be to just eliminate the more popular kids. But they don't do that. They go through the difficult process of making them seem cool and more interesting.
What a great trope inversion.
So it's done in the spirit in which the instruction was intended. And they want to complete this and cease to exist. That is what they want to do. Like, the tricky thing with Meeseeks is that existence is painful to them. And at some point, they will be like, "Okay, I can't complete this task, but I need to stop existing. So I'm going to make sure that this task is finished or is not required anymore," in a way.
Ideal for a kids' movie.
The plot of the episode ends up with, like, what seems like the simplest task becomes very difficult to do. And the Meeseeks like, "Well, the only solution is to kill the guy that gave us the task."
Oh, no.
Spoilers for Rick and Morty.
Well, no, they can't do that, right? Because that wouldn't achieve the objective and then they'd exist forever.
That's the plot of the episode, right?
Oh, yeah, they start losing their minds.
Yeah, they start losing their minds, yeah.
They capture everyone and start holding people hostage to try and get him to try and achieve the task first, right?
No, they are like, "We're gonna kill you, Jerry." And then when he's like, "I've locked myself in somewhere," they're like, "We're gonna start killing other people unless you come out."
Ideal for a heartwarming Christmas kids movie.
The point is, the Meeseeks are very silly characters, and as long as you give them simple enough tasks that are obviously achievable, then they will do that task and not cause any fuss. So,
like, solve Christmas.
Well, no, you don't give them the instruction "solve Christmas." That's the problem. You give them instruction like, "Make X number of toys, deliver this many presents." You know, you give them specific tasks that obviously have a route to completion, and they will do that and then cease to exist. Leave no mess behind. Perfect.
So you're going to temporarily flood the world with Meeseeks?
Yeah. I mean, the question is how you get the people to, like, organise that properly. And I think I'm going to have to come up with a character that's actually good at organising these people. Because if I summon Meeseeks number one, I'm like, "Solve Christmas, here's a Meeseeks box." That dude's going to go insane.
I was thinking, like, this is hell to manage, but it is fantastic for labour costs.
It
because
is.
They just stop existing when they've done the job.
Yep.
I do have a bunch of organisers that I've thought up for my idea. And if you want to pilfer any of them, feel free.
Yeah, I've got an idea, but I will have a think about it.
Here's a meeseeks cheat, okay?
A cheat seeks, if you will.
If you give a meeseeks a task that it can't reasonably accomplish within that time frame, just add on to the caveat of the task, get as far as you can, and then create another meeseeks to continue it, and then they get to stop existing partway through. They don't have to see the entire process.
But you only have one meeseeks box.
But you have one administrator meeseek.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, solve Christmas for as long as you can stand it, and then create another meeseeks to continue your job. So that you give that meeseeks the meeseeks box, that meeseeks is like, okay, I need to create 1,000 meeseeks, each with the process of making toys. They each make a certain number of toys. And then, okay, by the time I'm finished doing that, it's starting to get a bit bad. So I'm going to make one more meeseeks. I'm going to tell it what I'm doing and give it the same program. And then I'm going to stop existing and it can continue. There's your meeseeks hack.
Is a meeseeks allowed to make another meeseeks?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That happens in the episode in which they are introduced. The guy that they can't do says, I want to get 2 strokes off my golf game. And one of them is like, this is getting difficult. I've got an idea. Grabs the box, summons another Meeseeks. Is like, hi, Mr. Meeseeks. Can you help me, Mr. Meeseeks, get 2 strokes off this guy's golf game?
Nice.
It's a good episode. You should watch it.
Can do.
As I've mentioned previously, I've only seen one series of Rick and Morty, and it's season 2.
Yeah. Why have you only seen season 2?
It's what I had available.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Rick and Morty is quite good in that it is very episodic, and there are overarching plots, but it's mostly not, and that is in the spirit in which the show is intended.
The episode that made the least sense was episode 1, because it referenced season 1, and then it went on to being episodic and not being that big a deal that I hadn't seen anything.
Most of the series is like that.
They have like 1 or 2 episodes per season.
Yeah, they have quite a few callbacks, but it's not very serial.
Yeah, I think there was a meeseeks at some point, but it didn't explain what a meeseeks was.
That's the basic gist of meeseeks. And, like, the fact that they're not trying to monkeys paw you, they will do it in the intended fashion, is quite valuable, I think. And the labour costs are literally 0.
Just the way I like it.
How much can a meeseeks do? As in, if you give it a task that isn't physically within its capability, will its capability change?
No. They're basically a person that can't die.
Yeah.
So you're like, hey, Mr. Meeseeks, go win the chess grand championship, and it'll just, like, struggle for years and years and years.
Yes, it'll probably try and learn how to play chess, like, at a grandmaster level, and if that fails, then it might start trying to, like, poison the other competitors.
Yeah. The box is introduced with the caveat, only give them simple tasks, because they get weird if they start existing too long.
Yeah, simple tasks, like solving Christmas.
It's like, if you've been tasked to do a big thing, like clean your house, at some point you start getting tired, and that's about the time that they start getting like, ah, I gotta start finding different ways to complete this.
It's very relatable. How many people do I need to poison to stop the house being dirty?
Clean the house is a very good task to give a meeseeks, actually.
If you're like, hey, I need to deliver these presents, and you send the meeseeks out, like,
yeah,
okay, so we're here in the UK.
Yeah.
And delivering around the UK. But the meeseeks who's been given someone in Sydney,
uh-huh,
by the time they get there, aren't they going to be in, like, total agony and lost it a bit?
I think the path is clear enough that they know that the thing that really drives them crazy is when they can't see an end from their path. So even though it will become painful to exist...
But there isn't an end. Are they going to have to, like, walk to Australia?
Well, you know, they take a flight to Australia or whatever. They know there's a path where they can get to Australia and get there. And that's still... The reason things go bad is because they are looking for a way to finish their task.
So they go and start having, like, a day job to earn enough money to get a flight to Australia. And then when that takes too long, they rob a bank to be able to buy a flight to Australia, and then they go fly to Australia.
Potentially, yeah.
They might just be able to blag their way onto it, because for alien blue creatures that people have never seen before, they are weirdly accepted in general society in the episode.
It's because they are free labour.
I am cargo, please take me to Australia.
Basically, it might just be like, I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me, can I get on the plane please? And they're like, yeah, go for it.
Or, hey, you're taking a flight, I'm Mr. Meeseeks, can I be your luggage? Can you check me? So, speaking of cutting costs and space and, like, sci-fi bullshit.
I'm listening.
If I received the Icarus mech suit from Dyson Sphere program, I could fly off into space and begin the Dyson Sphere program.
Okay, some people in this chat know what this is, but...
For those of us who don't...
Yeah.
So, first of all, to caveat, this is going to take a while. Santa's not going to receive an immediate solution. Like, this isn't going to be Christmas this year. this might be Christmas in 50 years or something, but it's going to be worth it. This is a long-term program with real sustainability.
Uh-huh. We like that word.
Christmas doesn't happen for just long enough that people forget about it, and then you're like, I've solved Christmas, and everyone's like, what's Christmas? It's been 50 years.
We said Santa's still doing Christmas.
How much more exciting if Christmas was an entirely new thing that you'd never heard of, and someone came along from space and was like, hey, do you want to receive presents every year?
I was like, yeah, do you want to spend a lot of money on people as well every year?
Yeah.
No, I'm good, I'll pass.
Shut up, Eddie, it's the Christmas episode.
I like Christmas.
Santa said he's still doing Christmas. He's offloading some of the work. So a plan to eventually reduce his workload to zero. You know, if he can see that it'll work, that's going to be a great plan. Anyway, Dyson Sphere Program is a video game in which you go off into space, find resources, build them up into energy producers, launch those into orbit around stars, and eventually build Dyson swarms or Dyson spheres around stars. Now, what a Dyson swarm and a Dyson sphere are, they're arrangements that collect potentially all of the solar output of a star, collect it as energy, and then beam it to where it's needed.
The basic way I think of it is like, it's as if you've got a solar panel all the way around the sun.
Yes.
I would like a reduced energy bill for Christmas.
Yeah, you just send all of that energy to Earth. It's purely theoretical at this point in time, but it's like one of the most efficient ways of producing energy.
Yeah. Now, the whole function of the Icarus suit, it allows me to go into space, start harvesting some of those initial resources. Now, this is a scaling up procedure, which, you know, that's what delivering Christmas presents to every human who could exist now and forever would be. So I'm going to get ahead of colonizing space and all of that. I'm going to start the program now so that we can scale up. And as a side effect, we also solve energy for the foreseeable human future. We have sustainable energy. We have the ability to move around space and colonize. It'll be fantastic.
You're not wrong.
Is most of that 50 years you slow traveling to the system you're doing this in?
Probably, yeah.
Because once you get there and do resources, you can set up warping around.
Yeah.
But you have to slow travel to the system in the first place to start building because you can't really mine the entire planet Earth for resources.
Are you saying we solve Christmas by creating a post-scarcity society?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because that is not the same.
I'm going to solve this gigantic question in order to solve this stupid little win stupid prizes question.
No, that's a side effect. That's a necessary cost.
Which I appreciate.
Well, back from Bear's Corner here for a second. You go and do the Dyson Sphere thing without the intention of doing that. He mentions other benefits, but whatever. But the game involves basically setting up a bunch of drones and flights of spaceships that can move things around. So he can manufacture all the toys and deliver them, trivially.
Yes.
Okay. It's very funny from the point of view of, like, there are a lot of questions that you could just, like, yeah, I just Dyson Sphere it.
Yeah. In 50 years, everyone's worried because Santa's started doing badly because it's gone too long. And then this fleet of spaceships appears in orbit. Everyone's terrified. These drones descend from them over the Earth and then just give everyone a present.
Like, it's a good answer, but it is funny to go so big.
Yeah.
This is specifically a solution for this problem because as we go into the future, we don't know that all the children are only going to be on Earth. We don't know how many there are going to be. This needs to be a scalable solution to be viable.
Oh, you're future-proofing it.
I like that. Ooh. And I think Santa will too.
We can't just solve everything for now. So this way, as my focus initially is on building transport and energy sustainability, then I re-gear it, once I've got some of that solved, into presence and logistics. It's because this is a logistics problem, and Dyson Sphere Program is a logistics game.
Wow.
I love the logistics angle. I love the sustainability. I can't make this into a heartwarming film.
I think you can. Like, you watched The Martian, right? I haven't.
No.
The Martian's a good film. It's not a kid's film.
Okay, but, like, imagine a film of Santa Claus, except he's in space. He's all on his own. And he's just like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to go through these problems. I don't have anyone to talk to, but I know that my goal is good and just in the end. You know, you go through all these struggles. He's flying around in space. He's having some, like, problems because the terrain that he's on threatens the whole project. He gets through them wordlessly through the whole film. And then at the end,
the military shoot him down when he turns up on Earth.
He finally, like, I can sit back and relax as he watches the final automated fleet deliver the first shipment of presents to Earth for Christmas. That's a beautiful movie.
I might cry. That is beautiful.
Especially no dialogue through the whole movie.
I'm pretty sure the studio would make sure like the suit had an AI that he got to talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you'd have to have an annoying sidekick.
I think if you could pull it off as a movie with no dialogue, it might be really interesting.
It might be award-winning. I don't know if it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's true. There's not enough love interest for a Christmas movie.
Okay, every now and then he takes a break for himself and builds like a Christmas decoration for his factory.
Each year he celebrates Christmas on this planet on the other side of the galaxy.
Aww.
All on his own, yeah. He sets up a little tree made of metal.
Oh, no. It's more heartbreaking and like more like heartwarming film in the end if someone's already been set out to do this but hasn't made it, has like broken down halfway there, and they send another one to catch up with him. He finds there and he's like, oh wow, you've got this beautiful Christmas tree, how do you make the ornaments? There's like, I make one every year, and there's like thousands of them up. And then this newcomer Santa 2.0 turns up and like, you know, saves old Santa, and they go and fix Christmas together.
Yeah, the initial setup is like they were supposed to send a bunch of these out and they were going to work as a team, and only one of them makes it, or one of them lasts long enough for this independent explorer who doesn't know about the program to go and see what's up. Or they went out in such a time frame where they're like, we're not going to have communications with these people for 20 years until we send someone out after them. But we expect they're going to be in this situation. And then they arrive and there's only one of them left, but they're still going.
I think you're right. There's not enough Christmas films for the nerdy kids out there.
Yeah.
There's not enough space-based sci-fi.
There's not enough hard sci-fi
in our Christmas movies.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's too much magic and not enough scientific hard fact.
Zero human interaction Christmas interest.
Look, the action movie fans get Die Hard, so the nerds need Dyson Sphere Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got Dyson claws. I don't really know.
Yeah, so... launch me in a robot in space and leave me there all on my own to optimize things.
I'll be back in 50 years.
There is zero chance that you would have stuck to what you were meant to do by yourself in space for 50 years.
We can't send Bear. We can send like
anyone else.
Pick Matt Damon's character from The Martian.
Okay, my one character is Tom Nook as the motivator.
Call
back to episode one.
We send you with Tom Nook into space.
What's the lifespan of a Tanuki?
Probably less than 50 years.
13 in captivity.
I'm sorry, Santa and Tom Nook have an agreement not to work together.
Oh yeah, Tom Nook is like the anti-Santa.
That's very rude. We've talked. Let's not get into the...
Let's not.
Right, so Bear has identified the logistic issues of the problem, and his way of getting around a lot of them is scoping into the future. Eventually we'll solve it and we'll be set up to deliver. One of the issues with logistics, of course, is the time that everything takes. So earlier I dealt with space, with portals. I would like to present the cheat strat, which has been banned in some Win Stupid Prizes. I would like to invoke
oh, no.
time travel.
Oh no.
I thought you were going to say the power of friendship, but okay.
Yeah, mm. Originally, I was thinking, because I'm a Zelda fan, there's in the Majora's Mask, Link can reset 3 days and keep doing things, right? Unfortunately, that actually resets time. So I wanted to go to a time travel that doesn't reset the timeline.
Right, so you deliver a present, reset the timeline, the present's no longer delivered.
Yeah, right? So I didn't want to actually Groundhog Day it. I wanted to do something else.
Right, got you.
Admittedly, then I thought of time turners. And then I remembered that whatever I come up with in time turners, like, will just fall apart the moment anyone with a logical mind looks at the matter. So we're going to cut those out.
However, they can solve exactly one problem. And if you pick this problem, you might get away with it.
So I then moved back to either, this is a bit of a toss-up between these, the DeLorean from Back to Future or the TARDIS from Doctor Who. And because we quite recently had the TARDIS... or at least the Doctor, when we're doing the Ghostbusters episode. Also, this will fit into something later in my solution. I picked the DeLorean. So what we can do, you get someone into the car, they go off, they deliver the present. Now, the DeLorean can fly. As far as we can tell, it can travel decently through space.
So you're picking the Back to the Future 2 DeLorean.
Yeah, the flying one.
The best version of the DeLorean.
Okay, yeah. That helps with sustainability as well, because that one runs on trash.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'd forgotten that.
They deliver the present. Then they hit 88 miles an hour, they travel back in time to beforehand, and they get another present, they're going to deliver the next one. You can probably do more than one present at a time, but the way that you're solving this is by you're using the same like space of time over the Christmas period to do lots and lots of presents over and over again. And because you're not resetting the timeline, because we do see Doc and Marty see their old selves, like there's a scene with Doc trying to pretend he's not him when one of the other timeline versions of himself shows up, like trying to not interact. So we know that it doesn't actually cause a paradox if you just don't go and interact with your past self.
Yeah, you do have to make sure you avoid that though. And depending on how many presents you do per run.
Yes, but that's why you do an area at once. And also, we need a master organizer. So I came up with a few.
Oh.
The three I brought are good for different reasons. Professor X was one of them, because being able to psychically run organizations is pretty handy. Mr. Winston Wolfe from Pulp Fiction, because he's like this genius fixer who can come up with solutions to near anything and is very good at running stuff. And GLaDOS, who potentially you could install inside the DeLorean, but that might be a...
That would go very badly.
Yeah, that might be a way of sort of letting her do whatever she wants. So maybe we won't install her in the DeLorean.
Enter this dystopian future where all of humanity is just science test subjects.
Yep.
Why not just friend computer?
Oh, no. I mean, oh, good.
Well, yeah, okay. There's a lot of evil computers. Hell 9000? So you have your genius organizer, you have your car. So what we need is the army of minions to drive the car really well. And admittedly, this is going to take a while. So we need quite a few good car drivers who we can rotate in and out of being the driver, and they can get a rest when it's not their turn.
That makes sense.
Like postmen.
So for my army of minions, I have picked the current roster of Formula One racing.
That's... Okay, that's a bit different.
Oh, it's so good.
Right, so my dad used to do amateur racing, and this is inspired by how he described a 24-hour race, where you have multiple drivers, and they each do a slot, and they get to have a sleep and rest and food and stuff in the slot where they're not driving, right? They'll each do a stint.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is just a constantly looping stint with enough drivers who are very good at driving, so that handles the like speed and the like getting things in the way issue, and they can safely get up to 88 miles an hour without crashing, because, you know, that's actually quite fast.
I do like the advertising potential of this.
Yeah.
This sounds like a really weird old school Top Gear challenge.
Yes.
We've got to get presents to every child in the world.
Also, you've got a decent chance at like sponsorship or branding opportunities for the movie version to tie in with Formula One.
Yeah.
That's true. You could have all of the cars. Oh, no, you couldn't have all of the cars because you've got the DeLorean.
And because it's a kids' movie, you can produce a series of toys of the different drivers, all with little Santa hats.
That would be cute.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty funny.
I think the main risk you take here is that you're using normal road infrastructure as your basis for each
one. It can fly.
Can it fly to time travel? Yes, it can.
Because it leaves tracks in the air. There's that shot where there's the two flamey tire tracks in the air.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you are giving it to drivers that don't have experience with flying cars, but it's got car controls, though, so it's probably not too big a deal.
Yeah, it's going 88 miles an hour. They go way faster than that.
Oh, yeah, they go a couple hundred miles an hour, right? Easily.
So the flying makes up for they're not going as fast as they normally do.
You just need to pay a lot of attention to airspace in different regions.
Well, you can do it quite low.
I don't mean for airplanes. I mean like a bird or something. You need someone keeping track and saying like...
Well, that's why you've got friend computer running it.
Yeah, that's why you got whatever the genius organizer is.
Yeah, you need to have someone with like a camera saying, okay, there's no bird in this area of...
I don't think a bird is ever a problem for the DeLorean. It probably just gets vaporized.
If you teleported into the same space of time where like a bird is in your engine...
And that just never comes up. The movie just hand waves that. That's fine.
No, that's because they only time travel like 5 times.
But still...
If you're doing thousands of launches...
Yeah, statistically, this could be a big problem.
It's implied that the Doc's been off doing other things and has never hit anything like that. Especially once you involve the cartoon series.
Yeah, it's just unclear, you know, the risk that's being taken. The Doctor has a much smaller number of launches than you're planning on doing here. So I think you've got to make sure that administrator is really on top of that and is making sure the areas are clear. It's not necessarily going to fail it.
Yeah, I do need the administrator running it. And also, you're only having to keep track of an actual quite small chunk of time.
Yeah, you're only trying to travel into a time that you're already observing.
Yes. You don't have to jump back like 50 years or whatever. Is it 50 years? I can't remember. It's like in the 80s, right?
85.
And it's forward to like...
2015. Yeah, and they go back to... Is it 55? Is it 30 either way?
Yeah, it's 30 either way, isn't it? And then the Wild West is...
1855, 1885?
It's some multiple of centuries backwards, yeah.
I thought it's 1800s. I just don't know when exactly.
But of course, This obviously is such a crappy point to make, but Back to the Future is based in our reality, and unfortunately we've been through 2015 and it didn't work out that way.
Ah, good point.
I mean, it has been shown that time gets rewritten, so potentially the plot of the movie rewrote time to not go to the same plot as the movie.
Yeah, your biggest issue is, like, if you're gonna have to do, like, a million launches, if you accidentally, like, one of you says hello to someone at some point, and that changes the route that they take or stops them by a couple of seconds, and that might have a knock-on impact on a previous route, by butterfly effect style.
Sure, that's why we've got to have the genius.
With so many of them, you've increased the chances of that.
It's fine, they just have to wear their helmets and act like the Stig. No talking.
I'm getting the Stig to do every, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why you need the organizer.
But it is like, if your car parks up in front of the road and stops a car, and then that car leaves 30 seconds later, you know.
But that was always stopped.
No, that's not how they do time travel in Back to the Future, right? Because that's where the fading photos and stuff.
But that makes a fading present. We currently don't know what the future is.
Oh, of course.
What?
We're setting up a future where everyone has a present for Christmas. And then whatever future comes of that is the future.
Yeah.
We're not going back into the past and messing up the present.
You do need to still put together billions of presents, that's all.
We've got time travel for that.
You're going to have to be careful with, like, how you send the drivers back or how many drivers you have.
Yes.
I'm not sure you do have time travel for putting together the presents. Because if you use time travel to use the same set of resources to make presents...
Yeah, the resources are the issue. The man hours are not.
Yeah.
Person hours, please.
I think all of the people who currently drive in Formula One are...
As far as I'm aware, that's the case.
Are the Formula One racers the ones you're getting to make the presents?
I mean, they're my minions.
They are your army of minions. You have selected them.
If you really want to go for a paradox, instead, you... go and nab all the presents you've delivered from the future and bring them back and deliver them.
That is not getting anyone off the naughty list.
That's not my actual plan. I just wanted to put that out there.
You have destroyed the fabric of space-time.
It combines decently well with some form of teleportation as well from my earlier answer, but we only get one item, so... If you can give me a character who can make portals, Scotty from Star Trek, who can build me a... I'm done. That's my time travel. Time travel is done.
Okay. While we're between topics, I just looked it up and apparently Tom Nook is 40, so I don't think age works for Animal Crossing characters the same way it does for...
He's not got 50 years left.
In 50 years in real time, I bet Tom Nook is still a character.
Still 40.
But he won't be the shopkeeper. He'll be visiting as an old man.
Yes, and it'll be his cousin's... nephew, sorry.
Yeah, and Tortimer will be like 200 by then.
Yes,
Tortimer will never die.
I don't think age works on Animal Crossing characters in the same way we'd expect it to.
It's funny that you mention using a robot to control your army of minions, help you coordinate everything. Because, okay, so I'm going to the universe of Futurama, which has a robot Santa. However, I'm not picking robot Santa because, as far as they're concerned, everybody is on the naughty list, and I think they're a killbot that wants to eliminate the naughty list.
Oh.
So we're not picking robot Santa.
Good.
However, there is a better logistical organizer in the robot devil.
Better?
You're gonna have to explain.
Who it is?
So the robot devil is basically just the devil but a robot. So he has an army of damned and is used to, like, coordinating a bunch of minions and stuff. They have experience with lists, similar to naughty and nice lists.
Just the hell list.
They're very good at, like, organizing things and making deals. In Futurama, they're not afraid to get their hands dirty and do stuff themselves. They're also surprisingly honorable and fair in Futurama. Like, when they make deals and stuff, they will... I mean, obviously they're the devil and they're trying to be tricksy about it, but...
They're lawful evil.
Precisely. They're lawful, but they are evil.
Like all devils.
But as a result, as long as I can get them on my side, they would be, I think, in a really good position to, like, sort out the list, to organize my Meeseeks army.
I do think the devil would be really interested in signing a contract with Santa.
That's true.
Yeah, precisely, right? That's probably the sort of deal that I could give him and wouldn't mess me up too much.
I would not want to be a negotiator.
I just looked it up and he is the Beelzebot.
Oh, that's so good,
that's
you're
pretty
right.
Good. Oh, that's, I like that.
One of the reasons I think he'd be really good is he is very fair, because, like, I remember an episode where he spins a wheel with every robot in the world on it to select one of them, and he is on that list. And when it picks him, because that's the premise of the episode, he isn't like, I'm going to spin again because I'm the devil. He's like, well, this was not what I wanted to happen, and then goes through with it. So he still, like, sticks to those guns and stuff. He doesn't go back on his word and stuff. So I think that with some careful planning... the robot devil would be all of the best bits of the devil.
Uh-huh. All the notoriously good parts of the devil, yes.
I mean, you know, the devil got kicked out for being a smart ass. I don't remember what the deal was in the book.
Let's quickly go read Paradise Lost. Yeah.
I think that if you can forgive the evil parts of him, he has a lot of qualifications that suit him just right for the Santa gig.
I mean, I was willing to bring in GLaDOS, so I'm on board with forgiving the evil bits.
Exactly. I think he is, like, the prime candidate at the moment, in my mind, for controlling my army of Meeseeks. I might not want to give him the Meeseeks box directly. I could probably give, you know, just keep pressing it and let him give the instructions and it would be fine. And then they'd want to kill him, if anyone, it'd be fine.
He's giving orders to the Meeseeks who's holding the Meeseeks box to press the button.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And he's a man of his word, so it's a robot of his word. I do apologise.
I'm a big fan of devils in general, so...
There's not, like, a lot more to discuss about his character. He doesn't appear a lot, but that is, like, basically all of his character traits.
So your solution is the Beelzebot...
Beelzebot.
The Beelzebot.
Beelzebot, the Meeseeks box, an army of Meeseeks.
Yeah, basically.
Beelzebot as an administrator, not as the core.
I mean, they are my... Yeah, they are my GLaDOS equivalent here.
Yeah, okay. I like him. Pretty stylish-looking bot.
I don't want him to go out and deliver the presents himself. He might have some sort of portal technology, because he does turn up in a lot of places rather quickly, but I don't think that's ever explained.
You just gotta speak of him, so all we'd need to do is get all of the kids to sing a special Christmas rhyme.
Don't look at the words too carefully, kids, and ignore the fiery pentagram appearing.
Yeah, why robot devil when we could just take the real devil?
I can operate within Futurama rules, and it's a little bit kinder to me as a result.
We can hack the robot devil if everything goes wrong.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. He does get defeated several times by what I can only describe as idiots in Futurama.
Ideal.
Oh no, spoilers.
What number am I thinking of? M. Is he right? Yes, the number I was thinking of was the letter M, says the devil.
That is valid for computers, that is.
I mean, it's a robot that goes, is he right?
I do have one final idea about logistics. My last idea was basically solving the logistical program in a long but sustainable manner, right?
Right.
The other way to be efficient is to use things that are already in place. So my suggestion is that we rope in the service of rats.
Literal.
Wait, hang on.
Literal rats?
Rats.
Rats from Ratatouille? Rats from the Rats movie?
Rats the animal.
Just actual rats.
So the thing about rats is where there are people, there are rats. Maybe that's not true for, like, the space station, but basically everywhere else on Earth, where there are people, there are rats. You know, when you're in a city, you're never more than 5 feet from a rat, they say. When you're in the countryside, there's rats around eating the farmer's produce. Those rats suddenly become, every person gets one or more, like, Christmas rat friends. And those Christmas rat friends go and find them a present and deliver it to them.
I have an immediate issue that pops up in my head. All of the rat and mouse traps in the world.
Well, obviously, you know, taking them on as Santa's servants bestows them with some kind of at least semi-mystical ability. Maybe it's just a base level of intelligence where we can get them to recognize those traps.
This might be more evil than Beelzebot.
Rat poison. Plague. Oh, you get a present and you get some nice bubonic plague.
Hey, rats are victims of the bubonic plague, not the cause.
Oh, I know, but that doesn't mean they don't spread it.
People and their fleas were the main spreaders and rats were just a sign. Rats were a symptom more than a spreader.
All right, that's enough propaganda.
Anyway.
Do you have to make your character the rat king then so that you can have dominion over the rats rather than just like, I have an army of rats. Oh no, I have no way of...
Is it the Pied Piper?
If we need a rat king to command them, then sure. But I think, you know, the army of minions being the rats, there are enough rats, even if a few of them do fall foul of some traps. There are more rats than traps.
Yeah, it was more their limited understanding of human concepts and speech that I was wondering about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you've got the character and the item slot to flex that somehow.
Just take Professor X, he can probably communicate with rats.
Yeah.
There are rats everywhere, and if you can enlist these rats in helping Christmas, then you would have a lot of labor already in place, ready to carry out whatever it is you needed. And, you know, everyone would have a cute pet.
Look at this wild rat just rocked up into my house.
Wearing a Christmas hat.
What about people who don't like rats?
Too bad.
What about people who don't like Christmas?
Too bad.
But I'm saying, like, you're saying, like, a Christmas rat friend.
Yeah, okay, look. Some people, you know, who are involved in Christmas, they don't like the rats. Well, the rats are basically just elves. They sneak in, they put a present under the tree. Rats are good at doing that. Well, I mean, I don't know how much putting presents under the tree, but they're good at sneaking into places.
I mean, they combine decently well with when I said I needed an army of minions for the portal plan.
Exactly. And you need someone to eat the cookies and drink the milk?
Definitely there for that.
They would tick that box.
Can rats carry big enough presents? Like, how strong is your average rat?
They can move, like, a surprising level of stuff for their size. As with a lot of small animals, they are, you know, small things are disproportionately strong compared to what we're used to.
And this kid's like, I want a PS5, and then, like, eight rats, like, drag
yeah,
this box.
Eight rats throw a PS5 down the chimney, jump down onto it, drag it under the tree.
They sneak into local game at night, drag out a PS5, drag it across the street into someone's house. And they get done for, like, owning stolen goods, and everyone thinks the kid nicked it.
No, they sneak into the parents' room, they take like the cash or the credit card out of the parents' wallet. They go to the game store, they've had a rat sitting and watching so it knows the passcodes. It turns on the sales device, they sell the PS5 to the parents, and then boom, present under the tree.
And they just wrap it up and write from mum and dad on the present label.
From Santa.
From Santa, yeah.
How do we know this hasn't been happening for years then?
Exactly.
But that's where all the presents came from.
Yeah, elves and rats were the same thing all along.
I think parents will be a lot less stressed.
And it would make a very cute animated kids film as well. You could animate some cute rats. You've solved the global problem as well, because there are rats. I think rats are one of the animals that are in every country over the world.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like rats and pigeons, I think, are like the two animals that are found on like every continent.
Or at least every landmass, I think.
Yeah.
Where there weren't rats?
There are now.
There weren't people. And then once people got there, there were rats.
Yeah, yeah.
Did rats go with people to, like, the Antarctic station?
Ooh, I don't know if there are rats on Antarctica.
I mean, there aren't children on Antarctica either, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I realise, but the argument was children at minimum, everyone at best.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I was just curious about if you could cover the researchers or not.
Wasn't it like, it was like Argentina or someone sent a woman who was about to give birth to Antarctica to try and claim it. We've had a kid there now, therefore it must be our land. And
wow.
International committees went, that's not how that works.
That's nonsense.
That person is born of Antarctica, sure. Well done.
Yeah, like, that's sure, that's their place of birth, but, like, that doesn't mean anything other than that.
Good luck filling in forms for the rest of your life.
Maybe Argentina's laws say that where you're born matters, but not the Antarctic Treaty.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I've had a lot of ideas, and I'm going to need these to be summarized a little bit so that I can make sure that we're only taking the really good stuff to my colleague Santa.
Absolutely. I'm going to stick with my last answer, which was the Beelzebot with a Meeseeks box and an army of Meeseeks, obviously. Make the presents, live with the presents. Meeseeks do a lot. Just need the devil to coordinate it.
As usual.
As with all good plans.
So the solution I'm presenting, had to pick between my portal plan and my time travel plan, and I think time travel is BS enough that I'm picking that one. So we've got Professor X with the DeLorean.
In the living room.
In the living room, yeah, in the living room, yeah. And the current Formula One roster.
That's good. I like that.
I think what I want to take is the Icarus mech suit and go off into the future and build a shell around the sun.
Hooray!
Wait, our sun? I never asked which sun.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Gotta read the small print.
The ghost of Christmas future. Oh, dear.
All right, I'm hearing a lot of really good ideas here, and Santa's team have let me know that they want to take some of these forwards. I'd like to offer each of you the chance to trial your ideas, and you know, in exchange, I think I can safely say there's nobody on the naughty list this year.
Wait, we were the only people left on the naughty list?
It's just us.
How do I get these three off the list?
Does this mean I won't get any more coal? Because I've been using that coal power for a long time.
Thank you very much, AJ. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should subscribe to us on your favourite podcast platform. And if we're not on them, you should contact us. You can contact us via our Twitter, which is at Hexagorgon, or our Facebook, which is HexagorgonFB. We're making more than just podcasts, so if you want to check out our other content, we've got a website, which is hexagorgon.com. That's HexagorgonN.com. We've also got a Twitch channel where we're currently streaming every Monday and Thursdays, and the occasional bonus stream as well. That's twitch.tv/HexagorgonLive. I think URL hexagorgon.stream also will take you there currently.
It will.
We've also got a YouTube channel, which is also Hexagorgon. If you want to support us, the best way you can do that is either via our Ko-Fi, which is also Hexagorgon, or you can subscribe to us on our Twitch channel. Again, Hexagorgon Live. We hit affiliate a couple months ago, and it would be really handy just to give us a follow, maybe sub if you've got spare time. If you've got an Amazon Prime account, you're not using your free Twitch Prime sub, chuck that our way. Really appreciate it.
Get all your friends to listen to the podcast too.
In the spirit of Christmas.
In the spirit of Christmas sharing, yeah.
Yeah, tis the season for giving, so give your friends the gift of podcasts by sharing this podcast with them. Word of mouth is genuinely one of the best ways for us to increase our audience, and it's one of the most helpful things you can do is just by telling more people about our podcast or about all of the stuff that we do. Because we're making a bunch of stuff and we're having a great time, and we just need more people to see it to make this a thing that we can sustain long term.
And a message to you, listener, personally you, Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
We've recorded this bit just for you, the current listener who's listening to it right now.
That's right, specifically you, Frank. All right, thank you very much, everyone. I think we can safely say that we have made Christmas. I don't know if it's better or worse, but it's definitely happening. See you next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dun, 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 ching, ching,
what's that
dun,
I hear? Dun, dun, the pitter-patter of a million rats delivering presents?
I think I like my portal idea and my time travel, and the time travel one is more BS, so I'm picking that one. So, got the DeLorean and the current roster of the Formula One racing circuit. Ooh, which organizer do I want? Professor X.
Boris Johnson.
What the fuck? Let's cut that.
Just like out of nowhere.